Mr. Bomtrug, welcome. Did you bring a guest with you today, or did Ms. Barondo?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I apologize for being a little bit late. We had a visitor with us.
Yes. Now, what happened to the visitor?
You want to stand up?
Welcome.
This is Maddie Barondo. She thought it would be a good idea to learn more about budget hearings in Minnesota state government, because up until now she's only attended budget hearings in the state of Missouri.
Oh.
So she's going to compare notes.
So that's she is an experienced attendee, though.
Yes, she's a junior budget analyst.
All right. We want a comparison report at the end. Maybe we can do that just between you and I. But
thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Thank you for coming back. The other day we went so quickly through the governor's recommendations, and you did it under time, but we had no time to ask. And we're concerned with how the decisions were arrived at and what process was used to arrive. Did the agencies present something to you, budget management, and then budget management in consultation with them arrive at what's being proposed to us by the governor, or was the governor's staff as part of the process, and if so, who?
Sure.
And just, can you fill us in somewhat? I imagine they were different for each agency.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Ryan Bomtrug, and I'm an executive budget officer with Minnesota Management and Budget. I can give a brief overview of how we worked with the agencies in coming up with the reduction plans, largely for most agencies, and the supplemental budget process. If you have questions, feel free to interject as I go through. At the beginning of the process, MMB worked with agencies to help identify 3% of their unspent operating funds in 2010 and 3% of their direct appropriated or estimated revenues for fiscal year 11. And the exercise was not limited to the general fund, but included other funds with some exclusions, such as the constitutionally dedicated funds and federal funds. Besides looking at operating, MMB also looked at program or grants, and that was 6% of unspent funds in fiscal year 10 and 6% of the direct appropriated funds for those programs in fiscal year 11. After we got some of those numbers from agencies, we worked with the governor's office and within the governor's priorities to come up with the recommendations that we mentioned last week in the hearing.
And Mr. Bomtrug, are those the governor's priorities? Were they listed out somewhere?
Madam Chair, you know, besides what was espoused on the memo when he presented the supplemental budget about preserving certain areas of the budget, such as K-12 and veterans and some core public safety, I can't think of another location where his priorities were available.
Okay. And did you work with with all the agencies that are within this division's umbrella?
Yeah, absolutely. There are about four budget officers at MMB that have all of the different agencies under the jurisdiction of this committee. This committee has a number of different state governments, environment and natural resources. So, but every of the governor's recommendations, there was an executive budget officer and a team leader at MMB that worked through the budget discussions with the agencies.
Okay. And when did this process of going down to 3% reduction, when did that begin with the agencies?
Madam Chair, I believe it was mid-November when State Budget Director Jim Showalter sent an email to agencies discussing the process, and it was a phased process that started first with working with the agencies to identify the targets of the 3% and the 6%, and then coming back shortly thereafter with a proposed plan on what they would do regarding those targets.
And Mr. Baumtrag, then after the agency submitted what their reductions could be or what they said, then did you sit down face to face with them, or was this all done through email or just in writing?
Madam Chair, it varied amongst the agencies. I met with a couple of my agencies to get further details on their proposals. There were questions, we worked directly with agency staff either over the phone or through email to clarify any questions about proposals as we move forward with the decision-making process.
Any other questions about the process? Did anyone indicate, hey, we don't want to do this?
Madam Chair, we did work with agencies through several issues that were raised throughout the process and work with them to further evolve their recommendations and their thoughts, just to where they had questions about specific ideas or different recommendations that they were working on.
No one cried.
I did not cry, it was a difficult process working through agencies for the exercise that we went through.
You know, I cry when I look at this and when I read the budget book and think where we were last year, and that was hard. And now to cut and. You know, one of the priorities of the House of Representatives, anyway, and the legislature as a whole, I think from both parties, is to try to stimulate jobs. And last year when we had our beginning discussions about the constitutional amendment monies, and we made some comparisons of how the new monies coming in could be used as an impetus, like the WPA monies had been used in the 1930s for the recession or depression. We thought that we had gotten the message across very well that job creation and prevention of job loss was an important value of the people that sit on this committee anyway, and it didn't matter which side of the table they were sitting on. And of course we realized that we listened very carefully to our state economist, Mr. Showalter, when they come before the finance committees and talk about the need, because the income wasn't there. But do you have any background or whatever for this division on what kind of impact this is going to make on job loss if we accepted all the proposals as they were presented?
Yeah, Madam Chair. I saw that on Wednesday the agencies will be presenting, and I think the agencies would be the best source of information for the impacts of the governor's recs as they pertain to the specific agencies. I understand that the supplemental budget in the information that it pertains isn't quite as detailed as the biennial budget that we do in terms of having change pages that have, you know, the FTE considerations and the other different values and priorities that went into the budget. And so I really do think that the agencies, when they testify on Wednesday, will be able to share and have the best information about the direct impacts on their budgets.
But was that a concern of the Department of Budget Management from November on as you were going through your process of?
Madam Chair, Catherine Barondo, Budget Officer with the State Government Team at MMB. And yes, that concern, as well as many others, were discussed during the budget process with agencies. As Mr. Baumtrog said, the agencies are best able to discuss the consequences to their particular agency. However, it just came down to a very huge problem, $1.2 billion, and a lot of tough decisions, and ultimately those in the governor's supplemental budget recommendations were what the governor decided to propose.
Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In the process that Minnesota Management and Budget went through in directing agencies to come back with these recommendations and coordinating all of this, did you give any specific direction that might address the issue that we faced in this committee last time when we made budget cuts about the constitutional amendment, the legacy funds, and the language on supplant versus supplement? What kind of direction did you give to folks so that we would not be violating any of those constitutional principles? And do you see a possible problem with any of the cuts that have been recommended by the governor to that end, since so many of the agencies that we fund in this committee did receive constitutional amendment dollars?
Sure, Representative. I am not aware. Madam Chair, I apologize. I am not aware of any direction that the budget officers took with regard to supplantation. And we, of course, in our role, aren't experts on that subject. We know that's an issue, that it is rather unique language. There are several schools of thought about the parameters around what might be supplantation and what might not be. So that is not something that Brian or Mr. Baumtrog and I dealt with directly.
And so if we want to pursue this, especially with the agencies that have been recommended to not receive state funds again, who do we talk to? Do we talk to someone at Budget Management, or do we talk to someone in the governor's office?
Madam Chair, I would be happy to relay your concerns to our management and get back to you about who might provide more information on supplantation.
I think we would probably need to have that person that we need to talk to here, and probably on Wednesday, if it's possible.
Madam Chair, we will relay your request.
Yeah. Because it's big holes, and it seems to me that they were receiving, and they are a state agency, that if they are to receive legacy funds from the constitutional amendment of 3A's money, that we would be supplanting if we awarded them any additional monies other than what they've already received. And so it seems that where in the narrative it was saying that they will receive constitutional amendment monies, from what we discussed last year, they're not eligible because they wouldn't be receiving any state funding from the, because they're not a state agency. So, Mr. Roloff, can you add to that? Can you make a clarification for us?
Madam Chair, for the record, my name is Mike Roloff. I'm an executive budget coordinator at MMB. I can clarify the process a little bit. I think last year when we had these same conversations, my recollection is that we were sort of approaching it that if the agencies were all being cut at relatively the same amount, that at least in the governor's opinion there was no supplantation taking place. In talking about supplantation as a difficult subject to talk about, I don't think there's really an agreement as to whether or not supplantation is measured fund by fund, agency by agency, program by program. It's more kind of taking a look at things after enactment, after actions are taken, and that would be probably the time that a decision could be made about whether or not supplantation occurred or not. I don't think that in this particular, that certainly in the governor's recommendation that came out this year, I think it would be the governor's position that in general the agencies were treated the same as other agencies. There are some in there that did receive bigger cuts, obviously, but in general all of the agencies in state government were looking at reductions in budget. We started at roughly, I think you're aware that back in December we sent recommendations out to all of the agencies to prepare what has become known as the 3% and 6% plans. We asked all of these agencies to prepare those plans. In the discussion of those plans and in the formation of the governor's budget, the governor decided not to cut some agencies that much and to cut some agencies more. And the same thing would be true of the agencies within the purview of this committee. Some were cut more and some were cut less. But I don't think we can necessarily answer the question. To be honest with you, Madam Chair, I have trouble getting my mind around trying to measure supplantation kind of at the first step of the process here. There'll be more steps of the process, and maybe when final bills are enacted and the governor signs on to it, maybe then there might be a way of measuring it a little bit better. But I don't know if that helped, Madam Chair, or not.
I'm not sure either. But the governor did sign our bill in the spring.
Correct.
And it was signed with just one project was line itemed out, and that was based on a previous conversation that had taken place somewhere that we were unknown, we did not know about it. But and he did suggest that last winter in his proposals that three of the agencies become nonprofits and not be state agencies as they are now, and we resisted that. We did not think that was a good idea. We did not have any other conversations about that, and so we thought what we had done in our bill and in our appropriations for the agencies was acceptable. And I realize that this is a new year and that things did not go as well as we had all hoped they would go economically speaking. But now we're come with more that should be wiped out, zeroed out, and that's troubling to us. Very troubling for two of the agencies that we know for sure receive some federal funding based on what the state puts in. And so if they are not state agencies anymore, then will they be eligible for the federal funding that they are dependent upon? And that's the Arts Board and the Humanities Commission.
Madam Chair, again, I don't have necessarily a specific answer to that. I would say that the governor was pretty clear last year, and I think he's been on the record that simply because an agency has gotten some of the constitutionally dedicated funds, that doesn't take them out of the budget discussions going into the future. And so even though they got constitutionally dedicated funds in the past, they were part of the reductions that we were looking at. Whether or not an agency would qualify for federal funds, or an organization could qualify for federal funds if the general fund component was taken out, or the constitutional fund component was taken out, or the LCCMR component was taken out, I really don't know that for certain. I do know that the department, that the state does make a number of direct appropriations to organizations that are not technically state agencies. And so that muddies the water even further. In the case of the recommendation for the Arts Board, where it's recommended that they go to a nonprofit status, I don't necessarily think that would preclude them from getting either future general fund appropriation or constitutional fund appropriations, because we do give appropriations to certain nonprofit organizations. And that recommendation was consistent with the governor's biennial budget recommendation. The other one that I believe you're referring to would probably be the public broadcasting area. Is that correct? And again, I'm not certain whether the governor in the past has recommended no funds for those activities, but I think it's pretty clear that he's been on the record as questioning some of those or suggesting that they should get less.
Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Roloff, I guess I'm not concerned personally about how the governor feels about the Arts Board or any of these other organizations and agencies. We have appropriated money from the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund for the coming biennium to the Arts Board. If we, as a body and the Senate, were to agree to the governor's cut to the Arts Board of almost $2.9 million, eventually phasing them out, I think, I'm not an attorney, but I think there'd be a clear argument there that somebody could take the state to court and make a constitutional argument that we were supplanting. And I don't know, maybe you disagree with me, maybe you agree with me. I can't help but think somebody would try to make that case, particularly if they're the ones who aren't getting the funding that they have, that has been a traditional source for them, as is stated in the Constitution. So I guess my question to you is, do you know if this scenario that I've briefly described were to play out and we were to agree to the governor's cut to an organization that has already been appropriated money by the legislature and the governor from the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, if that were to play out, who would be defending the governor and or the state in court and at whose expense?
Madam Chair, Representative Morgan, I think your suggestion that something like that could get challenged in court, I would agree with you. I think that's probably where the definitions of supplantation, especially related to these funds, may start to get some clarity. In terms of who would be defending us, if I understand how it works, I think the Attorney General office would be defending the state of Minnesota if this was the way it was made. The key question in the way that you asked it was this acknowledgement that supplantation is something that is measured on an agency-by-agency basis. And it may not be. It may be that we take a look at everything that is funded by the Arts and Culture Fund and the other constitutional funds and all of the other funds that fund those same activities, including the general fund, the LCCMR, game and fish, who knows, and try to look at that and say that overall is roughly the same amount of money going into these areas from the various sources. That may be how supplantation is tested, not on an agency-by-agency basis. It may be tested on an agency-by-agency basis, and conceivably, I suppose, someone could make that argument on a program-by-program basis within an agency. So I really don't have an answer for that.
Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, Mr. Rolos, I don't know if you're an attorney. Like I said, I'm not. Those are some rough dice that we would have to be rolling on that one, I think, because regardless of what a court might determine of what is and what is supplantation in that case, my guess is somebody's going to take us to court, and there's going to be a cost to the state in terms of resources, time, and so forth for that. So I think the other alternative is we are now going to be in a position of finding another $2.9 million somewhere in here to make cuts. And we'll do that, I think, to try to save the state money in the long run from the possibilities of a legal proceeding. So thank you very much, Mr. Roloff.
Madam Chair and Representative Morgan, for the record, I am not an attorney either. I don't know how this would work out, but...
What about you, Mr. Bombtruck? Are you an attorney?
I'm not an attorney.
Ms. Verando?
I am not an attorney licensed in this state. I am, however, licensed in Missouri, for the record.
Well, show us.
So show me.
Well, what's it?
Okay. So education, you've committed to the education for an attorney, become in at least one state. So, okay. What do you think about all these questions that we've been talking?
Madam Chair, I concur with Mr. Roloff.
All right. Who can talk about the Chicano Latino Affairs Council most? Mm-hmm. Who has the most knowledge about that?
Madam Chair, I work with the Chicano Latino Affairs Council's budget.
Okay, Ms. Verando, what about eliminating their expenses like mail service and phone service? How are we going to communicate? How are they going to communicate with their community if the phone service and mail service is cut?
Madam Chair, I think that the council would be best able to answer how they would deal with those reductions, but the council did propose those reductions as how they would meet the 3% plan.
So that's
and
something
I
they offered up.
Correct.
How how many agencies within our under our umbrella offered up telecommunication of some kind?
Madam Chair, I am not certain about that. The agencies did offer parts of different operating expense categories that they thought perhaps they could reduce. And I'm not sure of the other items in this committee's purview, whether there were communication reductions made.
Any other questions? Any of the committee members? Did you talk about if we offered revenues, what might be acceptable revenues?
Madam Chair, with regards to this committee, it wasn't really a discussion we had with the agencies as part of the supplemental budget process.
So do you think we might offer up some revenues that would be favorably accepted?
Madam Chair, I don't believe I know the answer to that question.
Mr. Roloff, do you know the answer to the question, maybe? We won't hold you to it forever. Isn't there three chairs up there? Could there be three chairs up there? So, thank you.
Actually, Madam Chair, I'd rather directed all this to them. They're right. We didn't really talk about revenue options in the agencies that I generally associate with your purview. We did talk about some revenue options in other agencies. There are some small fee increases in some of the other recommendations in the governor's budget recommendation, but I can't put my finger on any in this area. Perhaps Mr. Soderberger.
Well, we were thinking of having a talent show or some bake sales, selling pins, some money makers.
Madam Chair,
Corn Fest.
One of the agencies under your purview is an excellent revenue raiser, and that's the zoo. And they do a number of things to raise revenues already. We did not talk about new revenue options there.
But last year, when their budget was up, we heard evidence that they were where they had to be on some of those revenues. But maybe we could sell ice cream in the summertime on the street corner up on Rice and University. Chocolate, strawberry, pineapple. I bet Maddie would come and buy ice cream cone. We're thinking. We just kind of want a sign that says, we'd consider that.
Madam Chair, the only guidance that I could give, I guess, is that the agencies who did get some fee increases or revenue increases, they were pretty small. There's no new general revenue in there, to my knowledge.
Okay. Any other questions? Well, thank you so much for coming back.
Madam Chair, it's been a pleasure as always.
And we welcome you again. Mr. Baumkog, Ms. Barando, and Mr. Roloff. I think we'll be thinking of some more questions as we hear more from the feedback from the agencies on Wednesday. And I bet you're going to be listening.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
Thank you. Mr. Soderberg and Ms. Roberts, you've provided us with some information.
Madam Chair, is it okay if we do it from here, or do you want us at the...
Okay.
That's fine.
Madam Chair, Helen and I will be going through some work that we did on your behalf. You asked us to kind of overlay the governor's recommendations with the actions of the 2009 actions, both legislative and gubernatorial, and kind of take a look at what the budgets of the respective agencies and programs under the preview of this committee would look like kind of subsequent to both, both actions. So what we'll be working off is some spreadsheets that are in your packet, today's handout packet. The first one is a spreadsheet that looks like this, and we'll be going across. And subsequent to that, we'll be looking at the second spreadsheet. It'll be the five-page spreadsheet that is the lengthiest one. And the third one is just a two-page spreadsheet, front and back, that we'll be looking that'll go through kind of the constitutional amendment portion. To begin, Madam Chair and members, if you look at the spreadsheet that reads right to left across the legal size paper, what we have here is the base funding of the agencies as of November. And I'll just make a couple of, one point is for Explore Minnesota Tourism, they are kind of a unique agency in the respect that they are authorized to have carry forward. And what the law provides is that any money that they carry forward must go into a marketing activities account, a tourism marketing account, and would be supplement their marketing activities. So the others are all the base funding. If you look at the second column, that is the legislative enactments. These are the ones that the legislature passed and the governor signed into law. So, for example, the Public Facilities Authority, they had a base of $2,000 or $200,000 for the biennium. The legislature enacted $14,000 worth of cuts. It's actually about $7,000 a year. And the total changes for the biennium are $14,000. Now, if we go to the next one, you'll see Explore Minnesota Tourism. The legislature enacted $768,000 worth of cuts, and subsequent to the enactment, the governor vetoed one light item in that bill, and that's $1,225,000, and that is for the film board. And we'll get into this a little bit more detail when we get into the big spreadsheet. But that's how the spreadsheet reads. So you can see that with the changes in 2009, those are the ones that have already occurred, whether they be legislative changes or gubernatorial changes by virtue of unallotments and vetoes. You can see on the fifth column, that is where we stand as of today. And then, Helen, go ahead.
Madam Chair, members, then beginning with a column that says 2010 governor's recs, this is going forward from what's already happened to what the governor is proposing. And you can see the governor is proposing a total of $7.784 million in general fund reductions for the agencies in this committee. And at this, I do want to point something out. I think that management and budget staff mentioned this last week, but there's been this discussion of the 3% cut for agencies. There is an additional 3% cut, or $9 million a year, that the governor is proposing in the state government finance bill. We don't have a lot of detail on it now, and I know Representative Kahn has been talking to Department of Finance about it, but if it works as an across-the-board cut or some kind of enterprise savings backed up by agency cuts, those are additional cuts that could be allocated to agencies not only within the State Government Finance Committee, but in every other committee. It's similar. The legislature itself has done things like that before, but this is actually in the governor's rec, so it would be something that you'd want to keep an eye on because it could lead to additional cuts.
So it would be more than the unspent monies that the agency had left?
It would be the equivalent of a 6% cut for the agencies, I believe, in total for 10 and 11. But, and again, we haven't seen the language on it, that would not have to be allocated evenly across agencies. The administration is talking about looking at some enterprise changes, consolidating IT, other things that they're working on at the moment. But it wouldn't necessarily mean every agency would get an even amount for this additional cut if that was enacted. Yes, and it's on top of whatever's recommended specifically in the governor's recs for this committee. And then so moving on to the seventh column, then you would see the impact of not only the cuts that have already taken place, but the governor's recommendation for the total funding. So, for example, for the Public Facilities Authority, you then see $168,000. The second to last column is the total of all of the changes, the legislative enacted changes, the unallotment, and the governor's recommendation. And then the final column is the percentage change versus the forecasted base, with all of, including all of those changes. And I just want to note, again, this is only looking at 10 and 11. So when you look at those percentage changes, you're not going to see the full impact of, for example, the recommendation for the Arts Board or for public broadcasting, where that carries forward into the tail and the phase out of all funding. But you'll see that in the detailed spreadsheet that we're going to look at next.
Well, moving forward, Madam Chair, we'll go to the detailed spreadsheet. This is, again, on legal paper, and it's the bigger of the other two spreadsheets that you see in your packet today. And now we're looking at the detail, and this kind of gives you what we do. Again, what we've overlaid is the governor's rec with what happened in 2009, whether that be through legislative enactment or through subsequent gubernatorial actions. And the Public Facilities Authority is, again, the first one, and you can see that last year these are the same numbers. It just shows where they would be, and you can see now that we are carrying that out. So the first year would be like an 18% cut. It would be $18,000 over the base of $100,000. The second year is 14% reduction, $14,000 over the base, and that would carry forward into 12 and 13 as well. Looking at Explore the Minnesota Tourism, Madam Chair, as I mentioned, Explore Minnesota Tourism is unique in that they have carry forward authority as well as some of the pass-through appropriations that they have, particularly the Minnesota Film and TV Board. They had carry forward authority as well on appropriations. So you can see again that the enacted is a budget reduction, and then there was also a non-cost from base for the Upper Minnesota Film Office from the tourism. And you can again see the percentages that would be for tourism and how those carry forward into 12 and 13. And you can see that it's kind of anything above line 26, which is the 2010-11, that's already occurred, and after, and what the governor is recommending beyond that is line 26 through 30. The Minnesota Film Board, I think everyone knows that there were no changes to their operations last year. The governor is recommending that that be zeroed out, and that is shown there. Minnesota Film Board's Film Jobs Production Program, often referred to as Snowbait, you'll notice they had a carry forward of $2,000 in 2008 session for fiscal year 2009. There was a one-time appropriation of about $1,300,000. And actually, I just looked at the figures in the budget, the latest budget. These are off of the November forecast. That number now looks like it'll be about $197,000. So it's about $195,000 more of carryover, which will help offset any reduction that this committee would make. And you can see that that carries forward in the second year. Both the Film Board operations and the Film Board production program will be zeroed out. The other one is a 2007 appropriation, and that is virtually gone now. In the 8 months that have been subsequent to the close of June 30th of 2009, they pretty much have spent all that down. That was a carry forward. It was available until spent. Looking at the Historical Society, you'll see the operating budget reduction, which was an enactment, and below that is a gubernatorial unallotment. And this was an unallotment that was made in July, subsequent and in addition to the legislative enactment. So you can see those numbers. That would carry out, and in the governor's recommendation, he is recommending further reductions in 2010 of $124,000. In 2011 of $286,000, that would carry forward. And he would also is recommending that the $96,000 in allotment become a permanent reduction to the Historical Society. And again, you can see the new appropriations that would result from all of these actions and what the percentages are. Likewise, with preservation and access, you see this similar scenario. The other items under the Historical Society are basically all no change items. These are the pass-throughs that the Society does at the bequest of the legislature for, I think there's five now pass-throughs, and those would include the International Center, the Air National Guard, the Military Museum, Farm America, and the Hockey Hall of Fame was a new initiative last year that was signed into law, and there's no changes. The only other item under the Historical Society is the reduction or the veto of a line item veto the governor did of the Workers' Memorial. And you can see the totals. One other item I'll mention about the Historical Society, there was a note on the first sheet. The Historical Society is unique in that they carry the debt servicing cost of the Minnesota History Center in their budget. For most of the time, it's paid for to the Department of Finance to pay for the debt servicing. So when you see these percentages, especially for the preservation and access portion of their budget and the education and outreach, in other words, those non-fiscal agent items on their budget, it means that the impacts are a little bit more than what are stated, because they're having to take the reductions off of the non-debt service, because that's a fixed cost. There's no way that they can reduce that, because the bondholders obviously expect to be paid. So these reductions would be understate the actual operating reductions for the society. And the final one that I will pass on to before I pass on to Helen is the Arts Board. As everybody's aware, the governor is recommending that the arts state funding for the Arts Board be phased out. It's a third, a third, a third over the next three fiscal years. The actual impact would be that after fiscal year 2012, there would no longer be any state funding for the Arts Board, because 13 is there would be a zero appropriation. And these would be in addition to the reductions that were made in the legislature, or by the legislature, in 2009. So you can see that it's not a 33% in the first year. It's 33 plus the number from 2009. So it's a much larger than what would be if you only looked at the governor's recommendation. And I'll pass it on to Helen.
And is your understanding, that the regional arts councils are also to become nonprofits in the governor's recommendations?
Madam Chair and members, what we've done here is that we know what the governor's recommendation is, and we're following from what he did, what the governor recommended. You'll remember last year there was a similar recommendation. I think it might have been a four-year phase out, but it was a similar recommendation, and at that time he was recommending that the entire budget of the Arts Board be reduced to include the regional art councils. If you look at the number that he's given, one way or the other, the number has to be reached. So if it doesn't come out of the Regional Art Council, it means it comes out of the grants program and the operations of the Arts Board. But we know his number. This just distributes it. So when we see the language, I'm confident that this is what he's proposing.
Thank you.
Madam
Ms.
Chair.
Ms. Roberts.
Madam Chair, I'm going to continue on line 209 with the Minnesota Humanities Commission. And again, here's a situation where the governor is recommending eliminating the general fund appropriation for this, the Humanities Center. You can see that the center itself did not have any changes either in last session or from the unallotment, but the recommendation from the governor would take place in fiscal year 11. Moving on to public broadcasting, again, the governor's recommending eliminating the public broadcasting grants that go through the Department of Administration beginning in fiscal year 11. And that would impact all of the grants that go through Department of Administration, including public television, the Twin Cities Regional Cable Channel, the AMPRS radio stations, and also Minnesota Public Radio. Moving on to the Amateur Sports Commission, you can see in 2009 there was a partial base restoration for this commission, and I believe the history of that is that the commission's operational budget was cut in anticipation of the commission being able to receive some revenues for a sports mall that was going to be built, and my understanding that's either been delayed or may not happen or may change quite a bit, but those anticipated revenues haven't come. So there was a partial base restoration. And then after that, now the governor is recommending an operating budget reduction for the commission of $12,000 total for 10 and 11, and then $8,000 a year carried out. Below that, you'll see, again, that the Target Center payment was actually eliminated in the last session. And again, this was a payment that really didn't go to the commission, but it was always reflected in their budget. So if you look at a summary for the commission, it's going to look a little like, oh my gosh, they're really getting whacked. But that was because of the elimination of that payment.
We spent it.
Moving on to the next page, you'll see the recommendations for the four councils. Here's where the operating budget reductions are shown. For beginning with the Council on Black Minnesotans, you'll see on line 305, that's the reduction that the council took in the last legislative session against their base, and then the governor is recommending an additional operating reduction, so that would bring it for 10 and 11 to a total of reduction of 7.2% for the biennium. Similarly, the next council on Chicano Latino Affairs, you would see the cumulative effect of the 2009 operating reduction and the governor's operating budget reduction, a total of 7.5%. And then the Council on Asian Pacific Minnesotans, again, the two reductions, 7.1%. And for the Indian Affairs Council, in the last session, they did receive an operating budget reduction and then some funding for Indian burial sites and unfunded federal mandates. And then the governor is recommending an additional operating budget reduction on top of that. So with the addition of that money that they did receive, their cut does look smaller than the other councils, but that was targeted money for those specific purposes. Moving on to...
Excuse me, before we go on, I just wanted to make a note that I received notice from Mr. Romanstein that they aren't able to be here tonight, because with the Indian Affairs Council, they are meeting with and having dinner with people from the Smithsonian and talking about their partnerships together, the Humanities Council, the Indian Affairs Council, and the Smithsonian, on how their partnership works and going to work together in the future. So... and they're meeting here in St. Paul at the Humanities Center. And so it would be a shame to do anything harmful. Please go on.
Madam Chair, continuing on line 358 with the zoo. Again, on line 362, you'll see the operating budget reallocation that took place in the last session, and then the governor does have a recommended operating budget reduction for the zoo. So the total reduction for 10 and 11 would be 8.6, with all of the reductions considered. The governor did not recommend a change for the Science Museum of Minnesota. They did have an operating budget reduction in the last session, but there's not a further recommended reduction from the governor. And then moving on to public libraries, I'm not sure if there's, I know there's been some discussion about whether these changes are going to be counted here or in the K-12 division, but this shows the impact of the governor's recommendation to extend the education payment shift or delay, and you can see the impact that would have on the four or five library programs that are within this division. The regional libraries basic system support grants, there would in 10 and 11 you can see the impact of the governor's action, and then in 12 and 13 you would see the impact of extending that delay, which would be a total of $2.3 million for those grant programs.
I believe I agreed that they could be carried in the other, in K-12, and that the shifts would be part of, with the education shifts, and that on that time period basis and so forth. But we still want to know about them.
Great. And that, Madam Chair, that's why we're showing them.
And I appreciate that a lot.
And on the last page, you can see then the other three changes to the multi-county, multi-type library systems grants. It's a $221,000 shift.
And then there's also another cut in the higher ed, to libraries in the higher ed budget with Minutex.
Okay. And the last two, you'll see... the Electronic Library for Minnesota, there is not a change to that program, but for the Regional Libraries Telecommunications Aid, again, there's the impact of the shift extension, which would be $391,000 in fiscal year 12. And then the final accounts are the Children's Museums, Minnesota Children's Museum, and the Duluth Children's Museum, and as you can see, there were no changes either in the last session, and the governor is not recommending any changes for these accounts.
All right, any questions? Any solutions?
Larry's got one.
No, I don't have a solution. I barely know the problem, actually. Help me with the linear equation, though. When we added amendment dollars to agency dollars, we're careful not to supplant. But then if you cut the agency dollars, then the amendment dollars are then supplanting? Is that what you...
I don't think they would be if we've already appropriated the...
All right, that's a good point.
The constitutional amendment money. And so if we were to appropriate anew
onto the cut budget,
we would have to look at that very carefully. But what's already been done and appropriated was based on the knowledge we had at the time that we made the decision.
Madam Chair, because the negative aspect of that wouldn't be to back the negative aspect, not necessarily my wanting, the negative aspect to that wouldn't not be backfilling the state, but taking away the amendment dollars that you think are supplanting. So then when you complain, you have less. I mean, isn't that a path of destruction? Is it possible to reestablish the dollars into a grant application where they submit a grant for that same process and then therefore not be supplanting? Just a suggestion.
Keep that in mind as we move along, because...
this is an ant farm without the glass, I'll tell you that.
Don't let them get up under your cuffs. But that's the kind of things that we're going to have to think about, and that's the kind of things that when Mr. Roloff was answering the question kind of talked around.
Yes.
Yeah.
Way around.
So I'm very concerned. But let's wait until we hear the response from the councils and from the agencies to find out real circumstance of what this is going to do and where we can hear from them what they offered up. And then find out what we should be indignant about, if we should be indignant about anything, because we know that everyone in Minnesota has this shared sacrifice. But and the problem that we face is kind of that this division faces is that many people, when they're talking about what's needed, don't have any of these agencies in mind as a need, but yet we know, like for instance with the libraries, that they are just being used to the max all across the state, and we're going to hear that in the next in the report that we receive next week or next month about that. And I would expect that more people are going to low-cost entertainment things, that the art board and the parks and the trails are where people are submitting grants requests for what they consider to be needs, because more and more families are using them. And every single thing that every single agency that we have is in somewhat the same problem. The only one that really might be at the top of anybody's list is the PFA. And as a necessity. But the agencies that we have before us are necessities for the soul and spirit as well as for the pocketbook, I think. So we have to rise up and try to do our best job at meeting the budget as we possibly can. And maybe we'll have solutions offered to us on Wednesday when we start hearing from the agencies before us. Mr. Morgan, what about legislative guide draft 4?
Madam Chair, we have been working on some suggestions and some ways to arrive at a compromise solution that will get us a legislative guide that we can all be proud of, but it still is a work in progress. I've taken a look at some recommendations that I've received in the last few days, and we are still working on it.
With draft 3, I announced that, you know, that was the end of input from the public and
what was that one? Excuse me, Madam Chair.
Well, we're on draft 4 now, and I think there's going to be, from what Representative Morgan's indicating, there might be a draft 5, and so will you please notify me before I put final vote on one more agenda of whether I'm going to have to open the public testimony part again. And but you think maybe we'll be done soon?
Madam Chair, I'm hoping that the changes are such that we would not have to reopen the public testimony, and I will certainly keep you posted of any proposed changes that I might have before the next meeting.
Because we did have over 5 months of public input. from August to through December 31st, and then one more in January. And so I thought I was being pretty open. But I will consult with you before I make the next agenda out. All right. Any other business? Minutes?
So move, Madam Chair.
Representative Davids moves adoption of the minutes of the 39th meeting, 86th session, February 17th, as printed. All in favor say aye.
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 Minutes are adopted. This meeting is adjourned. You.